London calling. David here. Going to fess up. Feeling a bit pensive tonight. Always do this time of the year. Clocks go back in a couple of hours. Sun sinks ever lower in the sky, like a fire going out. As Shakespeare put it, dark night strangles the traveling lamp. The traveling lamp being the sun. So, yes, everything getting darker, stunted, dwarfish days, the solar calendar's lockdown. Tier one, I suppose. And the thing is, you know, tiers two and three and four are on the conveyor belt, heading this way. Booked in for November and December and January. They're coming, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's like a prison sentence. Day after day, so many scratches on a cell wall. You want to do your time and get out of the prison house. But those scratches on the wall, that's your life. Shakespeare again. Like as the waves make toward the pebbled shore, so do our minutes hasten to their end. Each changing place with that which goes before. In sequent toil all forwards do contend. Enough. Let's think about Ella Annette Abbott. Bring her back. Make her live again. Keep her alive. Think about her house, 6 Holland Street in Kensington. It's still there. I saw it on my Kensington walk this afternoon. Thought about Ella, about her time in Kensington, 1 century ago. Didn't mention her to my walkers, kept her to myself. I've got a lot of time for Ella, think about her a lot. But all the same, as far as my walk goes, she's pretty much an outtake. It's one of those judgment calls, an editorial call. There's a lot of individuals I conjure up from that time, 1911, 1912, thereabouts. Ella's neighbors. They're, of course, better known, famous, famous names. Winston Churchill, the American poets T.S. Eliot and Ezra Pound and Robert Frost, the English novelist D.H. Lawrence, etc. They get a mention because they're part of the common currency of our culture, our past, our history. They've got name recognition. Ella doesn't. She's not out there on the dance floor of history. She's a wallflower. There's another poet, he's less well-known, but not quite forgotten, who spoke eloquently to this matter, the lives of ordinary men and women and children. In the case of his poem, Ordinary Londoners. Except, of course, they're anything but ordinary. The poet is Riven Todd. He was Scottish, died 50 years ago. If you're going to look him up, his Christian name is spelled Ruthven. You'd think it'd be pronounced Ruthven, but it isn't. It's pronounced Riven, Riven Todd. When London was being bombed, he wrote about it, about London and its people. Poems called These Are Facts. Goes like this. These are facts. Observe them how you will. Forget for a moment the medals and the glory, the clean shape of the bomb designed to kill, and the proud headlines of the paper's story. Remember the walls of brick that 40 years had nursed to make a neat though shabby home, the impertinence of death, ignoring tears, that smashed the house and left untouched the dome. Bodies in death are not magnificent or stately. Bones are not elegant that blast has shattered. This sorry, stained, and crumpled rag was lately a man whose life was made of little things that mattered. Now he is just a nuisance, liable to stink, a breeding ground for flies, a test tube for disease. Bury him quickly, and never pause to think, what is the future worth to men like these? People are more than places, more than pride. A million photographs record the works of Wren. A city remains a city on credit from the tide that flows among its rocks, a sea of men. And a sea of women. Women like Ella Annette Abbott. I used to tell my students, you can't read the same poem twice. Can't read it twice because you change and your world changes. Consider, for example, the resonance that the last word of the third stanza has now, a resonance it didn't have a year ago. That last line, with that now supercharged last word, reads, a man whose life was made of little things that mattered. And you can look anew at the second line of the poem. It reads, forget for a moment the medals and the glory. Well, I'd say in this instance, the names I mention at that juncture on my Kensington walk, Churchill and T.S. Eliot and Ezra Pound, etc., they get the medals and the glory. But Riven Todd's injunction is well taken. Forget for a moment the medals and the glory. Forget for a moment Churchill and T.S. Eliot and Ezra Pound. Let's remember Ella Annette Abbott. We know, well, I know, a little bit about her. And I like what I know. I like Ella. Sometimes, just for fun, I poke around in the untrodden ways of history, in the undergrowth. It's like a lucky dip. You thrust your arm down into that scrubland growth, grab hold of something and yank it up. Open your hand and see what you found. In this case, I was looking at the 1911 census returns for Holland Street, just nosing around, having a meander. And I came to 6 Holland Street, Ella's house. Ella's return isn't properly filled out. Not at all. She didn't let the official, the census enumerator, in the house. She didn't fill out his forms, didn't answer his questions. She stared him down. Said to him, give me your form. On it she wrote, in large, clear, defiant, strong handwriting, as a commercial woman, earning the money to pay taxes, under the same conditions as men, and yet having no means of representation, I have felt reluctantly compelled to join in the women's protest. And then she signed it, E.A. Abbott. E.A. Ella Annette Abbott. A lot of strength there. Fearlessness, conviction, courage. You can bet she was breaking the law, refusing to supply the census official with the information the state empowered him to fetch. And there's something else about that census return that's particularly telling. The census official has written on the form, in a cramped, small, meek hand, I have ascertained that Miss Holland occupies number 6 Holland Street alone. There are 6 rooms in the house, with confectioner's shop on the ground floor. J.M. French, enumerator. Love that overblown word, ascertained. It's a reach, that pretentious verb. A desperate grab for some dignity, or trying to recover some dignity. Ella cowed him. She saw him off. He didn't get inside. I'd wager he had to look through the window to see that it was a confectioner's shop. Maybe he had to get the next-door neighbor to tell him how many rooms were in the house. He certainly didn't get Ella's age, her birthplace, her nationality, her occupation. She didn't give him anything apart from a piece of her mind. And there's another delightful scrap of information. Ella's phone number. Ken 3397. I love that about the old phone numbers. The person you were ringing, you knew where they were from those first 3 initials. I'm going to rephrase that. You knew where they were from those first 3 initials. You were ringing somebody in Hampstead. It was Ham 1234, or whatever the number was. In Bloomsbury, it was MUS for British Museum, and then the 4 numbers. Sometimes less than 4 numbers, but that's another story, another podcast. Ken 3397, Ella Annette's number, is from the 1909 telephone directory. Reading left to right, those old directories give the telephone number, the surname in boldface, the Christian name or initials, a descriptor of the business. It's a subscription business directory, so there will be a descriptor like shipbrokers or coal merchants or silversmiths or bootmakers or builders and directors. E.A. Abbott's, Ella's descriptor reads, Sprig of Heather. Here's what the people who know about these things say about heather. The heather flower is an evergreen flowering shrub with hundreds of bell-shaped flowers up and down its spike-like stems. Not surprisingly, this hardy little flower has come to symbolize independence. What's not to like about that sprig of heather, Ella Abbott, at 6 Holland Street? Strong personality. And just round the corner, you got those young American poets, not quite famous yet, but on their way. Ezra Pound and T.S. Eliot and Robert Frost. Those 3 names are just for starters. I describe that house as the most remarkable small literary house on the planet. But that also is another story. What's to the point here is, did those young rock star American poets know Ella? Did Ella know them? What'd they make of her? She of them? I'll do Pound's famous Kensington poem one of these times. Ella sort of figures in it. Parting shot. Somebody once said, we die 3 times. We die when we die. We die when we're buried. We die the last time our name is spoken. I'm going to do my best to keep Ella Annette Abbott alive. She's too full of fight, too full of life to die. So full of life, I wouldn't be surprised at all to wake up tomorrow to a text from Ken 3397. That's all. Keep well, stay safe, come back soon. Come back to Ella Annette's town, our town, London.